Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Oh, things are starting to get a little spicy down in D.C. Jim Jordan is not kidding around with this weaponization of government hearing, the committee, the new committee he stood up on the weaponization of the government. He is holding hearings now all the week long, and every single day has just been delicioso. And people might respond to me, but Timbo, hearings don't matter because we only have the House. We don't have the Senate. And, well, they don't have any prosecution power. All they can do is make criminal referrals. And the DOJ is completely corrupt top to bottom. You say so yourself on every show. Well, yes, this is true, but you're misunderstanding the purpose of this committee. The purpose of this committee is not to put people in jail. And people, for heaven's sakes, there are no military tribunals being held in the basement of now Waldorf Astoria, formerly Trump International, the old post office. There are no military tribunals being held anywhere. No one is being sent to Gitmo. Okay, so knock all that off. Now, the purpose of this committee and the purpose of these hearings is to prove that we were right all along. To prove that they've been lying all along, to prove that they have indeed weaponized the federal government against we the people. And today, Benny Thompson, the putative chair of the Soviet-style show trial known as the January 6th Committee, tried claiming, but we never saw the footage. We never saw the footage. If we'd seen the footage, maybe things would be different. No, they had access to all the footage. And here's where poor Benny, you know, they hire these people, they appoint these people, they nominate these people based on characteristics that have absolutely nothing to do with their competence, qualifications, or capability. No, they hire them for their intersectionalities. And so Benny had to be the chair. We couldn't have a white man be the chair, even a quasi-white man like Jamie Raskin, who is now wearing an Aunt Jemima do-rag. And I'm wondering why that isn't considered to be transgender cultural appropriation. But that's just me being logical again. No. Benny Johnson, there's a little thing called bookmarks and data files that they can see who saw what and when. And guess what, Benny? All of those electronic fingerprints point out that you folks did indeed see this video. Now, maybe it was your underlings. Maybe it was your subordinates. Maybe it was the lackeys that went through the video. Because I'm certain that Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and all the rest had way more important things to do than to be bothered with details. But the committee staff definitely saw the video that we saw last night. The committee staff definitely saw the entire video segment showing over two dozen House and Senate members being bum-rushed out of the Capitol like it was a bomb threat that was called in, right? They were fleeing for their lives. And then at the very end of those two dozen or so House and Senate members was loping all by himself, was loping, slow, long stride, because he's a tall man, Josh Hawley. So what did the weaponized Soviet-style show trial committee do? Well, they just took the clip. It was down a hallway, and so you could see the cross hallway, right? You just saw about 20 feet, and you saw Josh Hawley loping along. And they put that on a loop. All of their captive corporate media ran it on a loop, laughing at Josh Hawley, calling this war hero a coward for fleeing the Capitol, when actually he was at the tail end of a whole bunch of people that the Capitol Police were escorting out. But no, they had to call Josh Hawley a coward. They showed the clip over and over in the committee hearing. We've got video of everyone in the room, everyone on the dais, everyone in the audience laughing at Josh Hawley because they were lying. They selectively edited the video to push their lie. And that is the sum and substance of the January 6th committee's show trial, Soviet-style show trial. They selectively edited what they presented to push the lies they were telling. Lying in Congress is nothing new. It's not even a crime. In fact, some would say it's the way the bodies operate. But Jim Jordan is throwing a monkey wrench in that. Pay attention to these hearings. They matter, because what he's doing is he's getting this all on the record for the 2024 campaign and for subsequent FBI prosecutions once we get Donald John Trump back at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with a DOJ that's not led by Jeff Sessions, that's not led by someone that's going to support the deep state instead of prosecute it. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On events calendar on TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Digging deeper into the news.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
California Governor Gavin Greasy Gruesome Newsom announced Wednesday that California will not renew a $54 million contract with Walgreens after the pharmacy chain made the decision to stop shipping and selling abortion pills in 20 United States states in order to avoid legal action. Here with the full story, joining me now is TNT Radio news producer Adam Ruckus Clark.
Dude, this is pretty wild. So Newsom is angry just because this company is doing something that basically they are forced to? This is insane. Newsom signaled this move on Twitter earlier in the week, stating, "We're done." In a statement on Wednesday, Newsom said, quote, "California will not stand by as corporations cave to extremists and cut off critical access to reproductive care and freedom. California is on track to be the fourth largest economy in the world, and we will leverage our market power to defend the right to choose." Hiss, I added the hiss, end quote. The decision impacts a $54 million contract and will force the California Department of General Services, the DGS, to look for other options to provide specialty prescription drugs, mainly used by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation and its correctional healthcare system. Newsom's office confirmed that the decision was made after reviewing all state contracts with Walgreens over the past 4 days. Quote, "Today, at Governor Newsom's direction, DGS gave formal notice that it is withdrawing a planned renewal of that agreement set to take effect on May 1st, 2023, and instead will explore other options for furnishing the same services," end quote. That is from Newsom's office statement. In response, Walgreens said in a statement that it is deeply disappointed by California's decision not to renew its long-standing contract, quote, "due to false and leading misinformation." A spokesperson for Walgreens, speaking to the Epoch Times, said, quote, "Walgreens is facing the same circumstances as all retail pharmacies, and no other retail pharmacies have said that they would approach this situation differently. So it's unclear where this contract would now be moved," end quote. The spokesperson reiterated what Walgreens said in a statement on Monday, that once the pharmacy chain is certified by the FDA, it, quote, plans to dispense mifepristone in any jurisdiction where it is legally permissible to do so, including the state of California. We will disperse this medication consistent with federal and state laws, the spokesperson added. Providing legally approved medications to patients is what pharmacies do and is rooted in our commitment to the communities in which we operate, end quote. Newsom's initial response on Monday came after Walgreens issued a statement that same day to clarify its stance. Currently, Walgreens does not sell mifepristone anywhere, as it is still seeking FDA certification. Walgreens stated, quote, providing legally approved medications to, Gray, the pharmacy's chief legal officer, had previously said Walgreens hadn't made any representations about using its mail order pharmacy business to dispense mifepristone, saying in a statement here, she wrote in a letter, actually, in response to 20 Republican state attorneys general who wrote to Walgreens to remind the company of federal state law, Gray says, quote, Walgreens is not currently dispensing mifepristone in any of its locations, end quote. So basically, Timothy, just because they're deciding to, there's this letter, it's the 20 states, I think, it's Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. Woo. So it would be illegal in those states for anyone to sell this drug. So just because Walgreens decided, hey, look, we don't want to break the law, man. Gavin Newsom said, how dare you? This is absolutely ridiculous. What do you think?
Well, I will admit that I, like the man who wanted to be the Yankee center fielder, I am a frustrated Saturday Night Live, not ready for primetime player wannabe. And I, years ago, Adam, I get these ideas, but I don't have the software to carry them out. I wanted to take that kill the rabbit clip from Bugs Bunny, you know, the one where they're at the Hollywood Bowl and Elmer Fudd is singing Kill the Wabbit. And I wanted to make it Kill the Babies, because that's what these people are all about. It's literally, they've replaced God with government, and abortion is their sacrament. Abortion is their Eucharist. They are demonic in their insistence that we kill the babies. And then, of course, chop them up, sell them for parts, deny that it's all happening. And when proof is provided that it's happening, well, you're just a racist. This doesn't surprise me in the least. Gavin Newsom is positioning himself for a 2024 presidential run, and you cannot run now as a Democrat unless you are wholly 100% committed to killing the babies.
It's really sad. Actually, this is kind of interesting because, like, Walgreens seems to understand something that, like, Disney doesn't understand, as well as something the federal government doesn't understand. And that's, A, let the consumers decide, and B, let the states decide. You know, it's not like Walgreens has said, well, you know, just because these states over here say it's bad, we're going to say it's bad everywhere. No, they're just doing what they're doing, man. They're just being a company. Leave them alone, Gavin Newsom. What's your deal, bro?
And one of the chief ways that the left lies are lies by omission. It's what they don't tell people that constitutes the lie, right? And one of the big lies around abortion is how many women die from abortion procedures. How many women are permanently sterilized because of surgical abortion procedures? How many women die because of the quote-unquote morning after pill, mifepristone? Okay, this isn't like taking a gummy vitamin, okay? You will have a chemically induced miscarriage, which, if something goes wrong, can cause massive hemorrhaging and even causing you to bleed out and die. It can also cause blood clots. And we've all learned over the past couple years what blood clots can lead to. Look at the number of people that have died suddenly from quote-unquote cardiac events because of blood clots caused by the gene jab. This isn't a safe, effective way to terminate a pregnancy, first of all. It's a stopgap measure that Big Pharma came up with to make killing babies more palatable. And if you think I'm being too graphic or you think I'm being too extreme by saying killing the babies, even Chris Rock, in his new Netflix comedy special, he comes out and he says he's 100% pro-choice. Women should have the autonomy over their own body, which, by the way, I agree, Adam. It's just that the baby isn't the woman's body. It's chemically, morphologically, physiologically, and genetically distinct from the woman's body. But that's a point for another day. Even Chris Rock, and the audience was very uncomfortable when he said this. He referred to it as killing the babies. And then he looks at me and goes, what? You got to admit, folks, that that's what it's about. It kills a baby. So even Chris Rock, who's not a Trumplican, has the courage to get up on stage and admit that abortion is killing a baby. Hopefully, we have more than 20 states in future that want to outlaw not only mifepristone, but the entire procedure, because it is the termination of an innocent human life. And on the other end of the spectrum, we've got people paying $100,000, $150,000 for artificial insemination to adopt babies from abroad. Why don't we just take all the babies from people that want an abortion and give them to all the couples that want a baby? Thanks again for another great story, Adam. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Jesse Zurawell on TNT Radio.
What do you regard as most urgent at this stage in the ongoing developments?
Mm-hmm. I feel, and I've been saying for quite some time, that the concerning thing actually were the proposed amendments, very specifically, primarily from the European Union. They proposed a number of things, but if you had to say, well, what is it that they're really pushing for? It's a global digital health certificate. They want an interoperable data management system for your private health information, which ultimately would make it so that some bureaucrat off, you know, in Geneva or wherever could change the requirements that an individual person, according to them, would need to be able to live their life. And that should be obvious by now, people. Okay.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
If you're talking about it,
what is going on the border today is different than it's ever been.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My first guest tonight is Floyd Brown, an American author, speaker, and media commentator. If his name doesn't immediately ring a bell, I'm sure you know his work. He's the founder of Citizens United, which was involved in the landmark campaign finance law case that's commonly referred to as Citizens United, which overturned the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law because the court deemed that political donations were an expression of political preference and therefore protected speech under the First Amendment. He's also the founder of The Western Journal, and Floyd has just finished a new groundbreaking book titled Counterpunch, It's touted as the Christian answer to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Counterpunch outlines a strategy for mobilizing a peaceful resistance that leads to collective action. Welcome to The Reckoning, Floyd Brown.
Timothy, it's great to be with you.
Floyd, what do you make? I want to start off with this Committee on the Weaponization of Government that Jim Jordan is leading. These hearings, in my opinion, have been blockbuster. I'm sure you've been following them. What's your take?
Yeah, no, they are blockbuster only because they're so revolutionary in terms of what Americans are used to seeing. I mean, the truth is that we haven't seen for a long time truth coming out of Capitol Hill. And, you know, whether it's January 6th or what the FBI has been up to. I mean, the FBI is still claiming, believe it or not, that Americans that love the Constitution are the greatest threat to the country. And
and traditional Catholics. Let's not forget us.
Oh, so, I mean, yes, they're revolutionary in that sense. But, you know, I will really only be happy with them if we begin to dismantle a state that is out of control, dismantle I think the FBI needs to be dismantled. I think the Justice Department needs to be completely reformed. I think most law enforcement should be handled at the state level myself. So, if Republicans aren't willing to engage in that kind of wholesale change of the federal system, then, you know, I don't know that that much will happen as a result of it. But I am very happy that at least we're discussing these issues for the first time someplace other than in alternative media, which is usually the only place any of these things are discussed.
Exactly. And you know, you can always tell them by their fruits, right? The demons have been howling this week. Can you imagine a United States senator, a majority leader, taking to the well of the Senate and demanding that a media corporation censor one of its... Can you imagine somebody getting in the well of the Senate and telling CBS they had to censor Walter Cronkite?
Yeah, well, this is... First of all, it is an absolute violation of the First Amendment. I mean...
Yeah.
You know, we still have on the books something called the Bill of Rights, and the federal government may be ignoring it, but it's still there and it's still active. And the First Amendment really is key to that. And that is the ability for ourselves to speak our minds and to tell the truth. And, you know, I think that they're embarrassed because there's still people rotting in jail because of this false narrative about January 6th. And Tucker Carlson has put a complete bow on top of the package that shows to every single American this narrative is totally false. And it's on top of a string of narratives that we have, you know, been suffering under now for at least, I don't know, I'm going to say the last decade, but
I was going to say at least a decade, but probably
years.
A little longer.
Yeah.
But DC jail is our Lubyanka prison. Okay. Did you hear what happened in the DC jail after Tucker's show on Monday night? On Tuesday, they ran dogs through everyone's cell. They took all their personal property, all their legal documents, all their books, all their everything.
Their medication.
They flushed him down the toilet.
I mean, you know, I guess you've got me speechless. I'm not often speechless, but the absolute unbelievable abuse of power that we have seen since Biden has taken office, and, you know, I'm one of those that doesn't believe he's a legitimate president. I believe there was a coup d'etat, and that coup d'etat came when they installed Biden. And the truth is that since then, we have been suffering under a regime which is fascist at best, But clearly a regime that's power hungry and does not respect the civil liberties of its citizens.
It sure doesn't. And this isn't the Biden administration. This is the intersectionality clown show. This is Obama 3.0. And it goes back to Obama, because what gets me is the arrogance. They break the law openly, and then they flout the fact that they're breaking the law. And then they say, go ahead and do something about it. I've got a pen. Remember, I've got a pen.
Right. So in my book, so, you know, I've been in politics for 40 years. I mean, I got involved in politics during the Reagan campaigns. I've earned every one of the gray hairs on my head. And
I've been going for 50. So we're right there together. I want to get to the book after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
And now,
dude, I have huge news.
I knew it.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Active U.S. service members and veterans provided testimony Wednesday about the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, describing in harrowing detail the carnage and death they witnessed on the ground while imploring Congress to help allies left behind. The French city of Bordeaux has awarded a local teenager an award for heroic behavior after he prevented a young teen from being raped by an Algerian migrant with a prolific criminal past.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Floyd, we've been experiencing something I call conservatism creep. In the military, they refer to mission creep, where the original mission slowly changes over time and eventually becomes something completely different than why soldiers were originally put into the situation. We're seeing that with President Trump. I've got a lot of friends. They're diehard conservatives, but they've fallen for the false narrative pushed by Obama 3.0 and their propaganda outlets in the media, into saying, oh, we need Ron DeSantis because he's less divisive. We don't need, and I counter back and I say, no, what this country needs is a pissed off Donald Trump who knows who his friends are and who his enemies are. And most of his enemies are in the Republican Party, to go to DC for 4 years and clean house. I want the federal government trimmed by a third. I want departments shut down completely. And I want a major riff in the federal government. I'd like to see a third to half of federal employees out flipping burgers or doing something in the private sector, because we've got to kill this Leviathan before it kills us all.
Do you want me to say more than amen?
Well, let's talk about your book, because it's
and that's actually what I talk about in my book. So I talk about several things that I've learned, because I spent 15 years in DC, and so I know this system intimately. And the truth is that what I really focus on is the uniparty, and the way that when people come to Washington, D.C., and we've seen in my lifetime several waves of them. The first wave I'll call the Reagan Revolution wave. Mm-hmm. And then the next wave after that, I'll call the Newt Gingrich wave. And then the wave after that was the Tea Party wave. And then we had the Trump wave. Okay. And we literally saw many members of Congress go to Washington, D.C., and their whole plan was to dismantle this state. And what happens is that once they get there, they become compromised and they slowly join this uniparty. And all of a sudden they wake up one day, 6 or 7 or 8 years later, and they have become what they used to despise. And so, getting to your point about Donald Trump, I absolutely 100% believe that Donald Trump is the only person on the globe that can defeat this uniparty. And, you know, this idea of Trumpism without Trump is it's
folly.
Just a it's a folly, and you can't have it without Trump. And so, you know, I think Ron DeSantis has been a great governor of Florida, but you know what? He wasn't a great congressman. If you actually look at his voting record when he was in Congress, he was a member of the Freedom Caucus, but he also supported, you know, the military-industrial complex, just like the rest of the Republicans. Only Donald Trump, I believe, will have the courage to reset American foreign policy. And that's a big part of what I go into in my book. And so, you know, there's a number of really key issues that we're facing. And those issues are centered around exactly what you brought up, Timothy. And that is this state, this government, this federal government is way, way, way too large. And it's got to be dramatically shrunk. And the government can go back to the states. And, you know, we can once again go back to where we have an experiment of 50 states that have 50 different policies, and they can all see which of those policies work best and emulate the other states. We don't need to have a one shoe fit all policy that encompasses the entire country. So that was actually the genius of our founding fathers. The genius of our founding fathers was they understood human nature, and they understood that power corrupts people. And in the same way King George had been corrupted by too much power, and that British imperialism had corrupted the elites of Britain, they set up a government where they hoped they could defeat that hubris inside of man with a system of government. So they created all these checks and balances. And that's the genius of it. But slowly over time, they have defeated those checks and those balances. And we've got to get back to renewing those checks and balances to get government working.
We do. And I talk about my three political fantasy wishes. In realpolitik, I don't think any of them will come true. But if they did, I think we would go a long way toward restoring our republic. And that's repeal 16A, repeal 17A, and end the Fed. You get rid of the 16th Amendment, the income tax, which was, as they always do, sold with a lie. Oh, we're not talking about wages. We're talking about passive investment income. We're talking about millionaires and their dividend income. And then as soon as 16A passes, what do you know? Not only wages, but in a lot of states, all of your property was taxed. 17A, taking the state's voices away from our government. We should not be electing our senators. The state legislature should be electing our senators. And for everybody that says, but that's not representative democracy, it sure is, because I've got a lot more say with my local state rep than I do with my United States Senator, Chuck Schumer. And third, end the Fed, get rid of this fiat currency. It's enabled us to run roughshod over the world and is just strangling America under the weight of the debt that we've incurred.
Yeah, no, those are three great wishes. And the truth is,
I got to find me a lamp.
The fiat currency, and I talk a lot about this. One of the big problems we have is what I call financialization. Okay. America has been stripped of its industrial base, and it's been done by Wall Street because of fake money. So they've been able to basically create money out of thin air, fiat money, and then these gigantic investment houses are able to use that fake money to go out and buy all the major companies. And then what did they do with those major companies? They stripped their assets. They moved production abroad. Sometimes they moved it to Mexico, which was slightly better than moving it to China. But you know, many of our major industries now were completely, totally dependent on China. That's why this whole notion that we could ever fight a war against China is it's nonsense. I mean, we wouldn't have the steel, we wouldn't have the armaments. We would immediately be in really tough shape because so many of the components of our high-tech arms come right out of China.
Well, as our mutual friend, economist Stephen Moore says, China makes all the precursors in most of the medicines, but all of the precursors for all of our medicines and our supplements. You can't get a vitamin C tablet without contributing to China. And if they shut off the spigot, we would only have a 3-month supply. So everybody on statins, everybody on life-saving medicine would have 3 months to live.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, they literally have us. In our leaders are culpable in this, and especially the leaders on Wall Street. And so, you know, it's not something that'll be fixed in a day. But you know, when I look at the landscape of political leaders, Donald Trump is the only one that even recognizes some of these things. I mean, he's the only one that talks about these issues.
He is. And let's be very clear. It's not that we can't have Trumpism without Trump because it's a cult of personality. It's because he is the only one in the leadership class that has the political will to get any of this done. Floyd, I want to thank you for 20 minutes. I wish we had more. I'd love to have you back anytime. I really like your work over at the Western Journal. I read it every single day. Folks, go to the Western Journal and follow Floyd's great work over there and get his book on Amazon, Counterpunch, a Christian perspective response to Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Floyd, thanks so much.
Great to visit with you, and I'll look forward to coming back again.
Great. Thanks.
Scientific heroes arrive at the United States Congress and obliterate the government lies from Anthony Fauci and the World Health Organization. It's about time.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Professor Dr. Jay Bhattacharya from the Stanford University School of Medicine laid waste to the COVID lies of the public health establishment during congressional testimony. Here is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya.
At best, they temporarily protected the laptop class who could work from home without losing their jobs, perhaps 30% of the population, while being served by the working class.
Dr. Bhattacharya and other public health experts called for a national commission to examine how public health acted so wrong and on such bad scientific advice during the COVID lockdowns. And ask yourself this, how many people pushing for lockdowns had their jobs impacted? Bureaucrats, presidents, prime ministers, elected leaders, and public health officials all were guaranteed a job, as well as the media and academia. Never again should be our mantra. We can never again allow unelected bureaucrats to shut down the world. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
While the mainstream media peddles fear with climate change alarmism, thousands of prominent scientists reject this pseudoscience. For example, Clintel was founded in 2019 by Emeritus Professor of Geophysics Gus Berghout and science journalist Marcel Kroc. This global network of 900 scientists and professionals issued the World Climate Declaration. There is no climate emergency, which was endorsed by numerous experts in the field, including professors of climatology and meteorology and other related scientific disciplines. Good environmental stewardship requires a strong economy. Genuine environmentalists understand this and that a destroyed economy will impoverish billions of people. This would not only be a humanitarian tragedy, but an environmental tragedy in the name of net zero carbon.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
James Patrick is a film director, economist, and investigator. In response to the global lockdowns in 2020, he directed the international documentary Planet Lockdown, shot in 9 countries and translated into 17 languages. Currently, James is about to release his new film based on the Dutch farmers and their struggles called Nitrogen 2000. With attacks on the global food system at work and the worldwide land grab schemes unfolding, James Patrick is on the case. What does this mean for the future of our food supply? After decades of advocating food security, why is the Dutch government now advocating a policy that purposely makes Holland completely dependent on foreign food production? You can get his movie at www.bigpicture.watch. Welcome to The Reckoning, James Patrick.
Hi, thanks for having us.
I have a friend whose husband is Dutch. He became a United States citizen about 20 years ago, and he's bewildered by what's going on. But there's really a dark side to the Netherlands forcing farmers off their land with phony environmental regulations, isn't there?
Yeah, this one is really bizarre because it's actually claiming that it's not related to carbon dioxide. They're arguing that nitrogen is pollution, and it's the EU has been regulating nitrogen since the year 2000. So it's been a long scheme in the making. It's not a new story in a sense.
No, but the land grab aspect of it is pretty new.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like, it just shows you there's people behind the EU, behind the UN that have been laying the groundwork for these schemes decades. For a long time. So it's pretty wild. Yeah.
And nitrogen can be an environmental pollutant. We have a little cottage out on one of the Finger Lakes here in upstate New York. And the farmers, central New York is a huge dairy area. And the farmers were allowing the cow droppings to leach into the lake. And there was a lot of nitrogen. So there was a lot of algae and plant life that was unappreciated. But what we did is we didn't take their farms away. And the people around the lake went and talked to the farmers and said, you know, is there any way? And they came up with some remediation efforts. And now the lake is crystal clean. So yes, nitrogen can impact the environment, but there are ways to mitigate it. This isn't about an environmental issue, though. This is all about a land grab because they want Brussels to be the world's capital. And they need that land. Even though Brussels is in Belgium, they need the Netherlands. They want to spread this thing out into some massive world capital like you see in the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah. So also they've made 18% of the EU into nature preserves called Nature 2000 areas. And in most of these countries in the EU, they're concentrated in big forest areas like the Black Forest. But Holland has been so developed since five centuries or more that they've sort of spread it out in 162 little plots around the country. So the government's cooked up these computer models, nitrogen models, claiming that if a cow, you know, takes a crap in one area, the nitrogen will magically float in the air over to a Nature 2000 area that everyone's within a kilometer of, and everyone's within a kilometer of one of them. And so then they argue, okay, well, you know, we can steal that land. So I got in touch with this top government scientist who wrote several reports debunking these models. And I interviewed him the day before he came out with the second one, just disputing that the nitrogen can float in the air like that. And also that, you know, there's a lot of other ways, like you're saying, to mitigate it than stealing land.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because look, nothing they push is about what they're pushing. There's always an ulterior motive, right? They push the socially and environmentally palatable issue so that they can backdoor what they really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just concerning these increasing usage of environmental arguments to exploit people.
Yeah, I knew the lawyer, he was a law professor subsequently, that was behind the infamous snail darter case. Do you remember the snail darter case in the 70s? They were going to build a dam. They were going to build a hydroelectric dam in the Tennessee River Valley, right? Mm-hmm. The whole Tennessee River Valley Authority, the TVA, was designed to electrify rural America. And the way they would do it would be hydroelectric dams. So they wanted to build a new dam. The old dam was in danger of collapse, actually. And the enviros didn't want the new dam because the new dam would have provided electricity for people and for businesses. And they didn't want more people and more businesses in the Tennessee River Valley. So they stopped the construction of this dam by claiming that this tiny little inch and a half long fish, the snail darter, would be imperiled by this new dam. And they got the Supreme Court to stop construction of the dam to save the snail darter. And he admitted over a beer, laughing as he told me the story, we didn't care about the snail darter. It was just a means to the end of not flooding out two towns because, you know, just like they did with the Quabbin Reservoir in Massachusetts. And when they build a dam and create a reservoir, typically there are towns there that have to be flooded and all the people relocated, et cetera. And he said, that's what the case was about. We didn't care about the stupid little fish. Everything always has an ulterior motive with them.
Yeah, and I think we need to push back on these absurd arguments. It's like with COVID, they did this. They said, oh, well, because a few buildings, a few hospitals would be overwhelmed, which didn't turn out to be true. Then we need to kneecap and bankrupt everybody. And, you know, just these completely unhinged arguments with no cost benefit analysis. And, you know, saying you want to save the owls or the sea dart things. I mean, it's incredulous, you know. So we need to push back on this and call it a fraud for what call a spade a spade, you know?
We really do, and we need to push back on the UN. UN is another one of these utopian-type extra-governmental organizations that's kind of become a super-government in and of itself. Joe Biden wants to cede our medical autonomy to the World Health Organization. I, since the 80s, have wanted us to kick the UN out of New York. And keep the United States out of the UN, because all it is as a New Yorker, all it was to have a whole bunch of people that hate the United States coming and triple parking, and you can't even give them a parking ticket, and the arrogance that they run around Midtown Manhattan and all over Manhattan is just unbelievable. And then they get on the floor of the UN and all they do is denounce the United States.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's a threat to our sovereignty.
Yeah, I really think that the hegemony and the ceding of our sovereignty to these globalist bodies is an existential threat to the Republic. I think we absolutely have to start pushing back against the WHO and all of the subsidiary UNESCO, the UNICEF. You know, remember Trick or Treat for UNICEF? We haven't heard that in a few decades, but when I was a boy, do the right thing. It was part of the indoctrination of people, right? Don't go get candy for yourself, you selfish knob. Go out and trick or treat for UNICEF and collect coins and then bring them in and we'll send them on to UNICEF so you can help poor children around the world. Well, UNICEF's another one of these organizations that sounds great in theory, and all it ends up doing is abusing and trafficking children.
Yeah, and they use all these like guilt arguments, you know, like the church used to do. You say you're born in sin, so give us your money. Now they say, oh well, you're born of carbon, so you're pollution. Give us your money, give us your freedom. You know, I mean, it's just this. It's really sad to see young kids say things like, oh, I shouldn't have any kids because, you know, global warming. And it's like the elite's mentality is like, all these people are trash, they're pollution, get rid of them. And then they push their mentality on people to think that, to advocate that they're trash, that they're pollution, that they shouldn't exist, they shouldn't have any right to have any economic life, or it's really twisted. So people
and everything they do. Yeah, and I keep saying every single thing they see, do, or they think, do, and say is either a lie or predicated upon a lie. For example, contaminated soil from East Palestine. Did we truck it out to Nevada? Nevada is like 90% owned by the federal government. Okay, one-third the land mass of the western United States is owned by the federal government. Might even be more, but it's at least a third. If you look at a map of all the federally owned areas, it'll blow your mind. Out west as compared to out east.
Yeah.
Do they truck it out to the middle of the desert that we use for a missile range where there's no impact on anything? No. They trucked it down to Houston. And even Lena Hidalgo, another one of these intersectional appointees who was put into office because of all the boxes that she checks rather than any competence she has, and Sheila Racist Lee, the congresswoman for Houston, one of the congresswomen for Houston, came out and said, no, you can't truck this stuff to the fourth largest city in the country. And I was like, but nobody steps back and says, well, wait a second, why were they shipping it to Houston instead of, because they want to push this narrative that we are burdened with pollution and it's a threat to us. When it's not, it's simply not true. As a biologist and chemist, I can tell you this stuff is just, it's all predicated on lies.
Sure is, yeah.
So what led you into movie making? So you're an economist and an investigator. And what triggered you to get involved making movies?
It was really the COVID story. I mean, when they locked down the world, and it just didn't make any sense to me. And then I just could see, having researched these areas, being from DC and growing up around these systems, I could see that there was something really wrong, and it was really a kind of coming out party of the world governmental system. I mean, it's the first time in world history that all of the governments in the world were obeying a single order. And that really alarmed me to such an extent that I had to do something about it. I had to help people understand where we're at. Because really, really, we're sort of now living in a world government, except we still think we're in countries. And these guys are really playing this kabuki dance of what we have different countries. It's very much like 1984 with East Asia, Eurasia, and South Asia. They have this fake war going on, and everyone, and they put on this big show. We're fighting with Russia, we're fighting with China, and at a higher level, the money, the hand that holds the money, is the same. So I did Planet Lockdown in the interview series as a sort of educational project to help people understand where we're at and have the most credible voices in the world speak to it.
Yeah, because not only were they all on cue, and I noticed that literally overnight, coast to coast, stickers came out on the floors of every store telling you which way to go down the aisle and which way not to go down the aisle. Well, those had to have all been pre-printed and stored, ready, pre-printed and pre-positioned, ready to be deployed. It wasn't cheap. There was a lot of money behind that. Walgreens didn't just decide to do it, and Wegmans didn't just decide to do it, and Costco didn't just decide to do it all overnight. This had been planned out months, if not years, in advance. All of the announcements, no matter which store you went into, all of those canned announcements over the loudspeaker with the subliminal music that's supposed to entice you to buy more things. Nice people wear masks. Do what's responsible for other people and be sure to mask up. You know, all of this psyop, it was an absolute psyop from beginning to end. So good on you. Where can people go to see that movie? Is that also at bigpicture.watch?
No, it's at planetlockdownfilm.com. So there you can find the film in 17 languages, and you can download it, and it's streamed on 4 platforms. And then I also have all the full interviews for free. So, I interviewed like former Czech Prime Minister Václav Klaus and former research director of the French NIH, and Alexander Henry Onkod. I got Wolfgang Vodarg on WHO corruption, and who's a former member of German parliament and former Pfizer vice president, Michael Yeadon. So I really got the most credible people giving clear argumentation. You know, a lot of what I've been doing in this work the last 2 or 3 years is just weeding out the kooks and the cranks and the charlatans. And a lot of the sort of information sphere I notice in the US is a lot messier. In Europe, I find better subjects. I think there's a lot more psychological. My interpretation is that there's a lot more psychological operations focused on destabilizing the United States, and Western Europe is sort of already more under wraps. You know, the people.
Oh, they've been socialists since post World War II. Yeah.
Yeah, they're more domesticated, so they don't have as much of a problem there. And they have actually very good scientists speaking out, whereas here it's like there's a lot of cranky subjects. And just, you know, like the snake venom thing, it really frustrates me, you know, or people saying the Ohio thing was faked, or just endless.
Oh, I don't think people are saying the Ohio thing was faked. I think they're saying that it didn't happen. See, what a false flag is, it's not saying that what happened didn't happen. It's saying that the people that you think did it didn't.
I mean, I don't really know what happened there, but I mean, yeah, the government was sort of involved with covering it up at the very least.
Oh, or at the very intensely. Least. What's beautiful is how, you know, the truth eventually will out, right? And that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. The COVID, all the COVID lies are coming out. James Redfield gave damning testimony yesterday, completely threw Fauci under the bus. He'd been kept out of the loop of a lot of these cover-up conversations through email and teleconference. And I think that would make an excellent, after the new book out, or after the new film is out, you might want to revisit Planet Lockdown once the truth is all out and once people start being sent to prison for the crimes that they committed, God willing. I think that would be great. James Patrick, thanks so much for coming on. Folks, go to planetlockdown.film to check out Planet Lockdown.
And or go planetlockdownfilm.com.
Yeah. planetlockdownfilm.com and go to bigpicture.watch. When's the new movie out?
In about a month, in April, and then I'm going to have it for charge for 2 months and then for free. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, maybe we can have you back when it comes out. All right. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.